Well, hello, everybody. This is the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors. You are talking to Albie Shore, and I have Dylan Smythe with me. How are you, Dylan?
I've been better. I locked myself out of my apartment for an hour, and that's why we're recording late today. And it's a microcosm of all things that are going on related, and it kind of is a parallel with Texas Tech right now. So,
you know, as you can tell by my solemn mood as I open this podcast, it's not great. Things aren't great. You know, things just aren't great. Let's be frank about it, right? Let's keep it real. Things aren't great in Red Raider land. We didn't have a recap pod because it took us that long to drown in our sorrows. And mostly because, as I told you pre-pod, I wasn't feeling too great after the game. Not because I was sad, but because I was very hungover. So, yeah.
I'm still drowning in my sorrows. I have a beer right now.
Yeah, I mean, so let's talk about the game, shall we? If we have to. Yeah, let's dig deep into the psyche. Game starts, and how does the game start, Dylan?
Poorly.
So on the second possession, kickoff return for a touchdown. It's 7-0 like that. You know, and McClain Carter actually, to be fair, to start the game, McClain Carter actually looked good. He looked much better than that Texas game, that's for dang sure.
Well, yeah, and he's had a whole off season to get better, and I didn't doubt that he was gonna get better, but it's his arm strength doesn't seem to have gotten much better to me.
Well, okay, so the thing about McClain Carter, we know his arm strength isn't anything, right? We know that, but in college, in the NFL, it's important for your quarterback to have arm strength, which is one big reason why I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to be that great. But in college, it's not the most important thing. Like it's great. It separates good quarterbacks from great quarterbacks, or average quarterbacks from good quarterbacks, et cetera. But it's not necessary. So with McClain Carter, even though he doesn't have the arm strength, to me, I said, okay, well, if he can play the game manager role, if he can get the balls to the running backs and to TJ Vasher, and if he can, you know, run for the first down when necessary and all this stuff, he could be successful. Now, but that's stuff that he wasn't really doing in the spring. The reason why he won the job was because he just didn't make as many mistakes as the true freshman and the erratic passer, right? He actually looked pretty decent to start the game, though.
Yeah, I guess so. I was more impressed by Alan Bowman, and people are probably going to sigh because I've been on the Alan Bowman hype train for too long, but I liked what I saw from the freshman.
So, I mean, okay, so and we'll talk. So basically, McClain Carter goes out with a leg injury. We still don't know how serious it is. He's questionable for the game against Lamar, but I also think that's more of a questionable because Kingsbury likes to keep everything tight-nipped, even though we all know that he's not going to play. Alan Bowman played like a true freshman. He didn't play, look better than McClain Carter. I don't think he was anything. I wasn't embarrassed by him. I don't think he played awful or anything like that. I think that the offense sputtered quite a few times. I think that we didn't look like, you know, our normal Texas Tech Air Raid offense. But, you know, Alan Bowman playing an SEC team for the first time for his first college game, I get it. I understand why he played the way he played. But this is the reason why I said Kingsbury, is this a season you really want to start a true freshman?
Yeah.
And he might be forced to, unfortunately.
Well, luckily we have Lamar next week. But I liked what I saw from him talent-wise. And you're right. It's the true freshman against an SEC team. Like, that's madness. Of course, that's not going to go well. But I saw flashes of things that I could see going forward that he has some room for improvement. And I think he could get there.
Now, at the same time, so whenever everybody was predicting this game, I think for most part everyone predicted – everyone that was that actually studies Tech football, I think, predicted, you know, 27-24, maybe 35-31, a game in the 20s and the 30s with the idea that offense isn't great. Our offense isn't great, but our defense will hold them, and it'll be a not as high scoring as most Tech games.
Right.
If us scoring 27 isn't a surprise – for Tech fans, right? I mean, I think most of us would have probably predicted we'd score in the 20s and 30s, right? Yeah. That's not a huge surprise. Even though I would have liked more more points, that's not a big surprise. But the surprise, and I guess, you know, why are we surprised, right? Like, why are we surprised? The surprise is the defense gave up 47 points. But at this point, we should be used to it.
Hashtag things have changed. Whoops.
Yeah. Whoops indeed. That was the embarrassing part of it. The so-called 806D, the new defense, the defense that had everybody saying Gibbs should be the head coach. What a load of malarkey.
It's, you know, Texas Tech has never been good playing from behind, and I think that really screwed up our game plan because we were running early and often and running well. De'Leon Ward was one of the only bright spots in this game. And as we got down and had to lean on a true freshman to bring us back against the SEC team, the game plan just got thrown out the window. And the defense, I'm not going to say they didn't look bad. Yeah, they looked bad, but it was the chunk plays that killed us. The chunk plays just...
Well, I mean, they let Scotty Phillips just run all over the field.
Well, yeah, but there was like 60-yard runs. Like I'm saying, chunk plays, big plays over 40 yards. They destroyed
us. My question is, where was Dakota Allen? Where was Jordan Brooks? Where was Justice Parker? Where was Eli Howard? Like, these were the guys that we were all talking about. We're going to be leaders for this team. We're going to really, really revive this defense. And Dakota Allen, four tackles? Like, that is ridiculous.
As the game went on, it just, everything was not going in our favor. Like I said, we don't come from behind well. The defense was getting lost out there, and we had two players get ejected, two players in the secondary, which against the Ole Miss team that has probably the best wide receiving core in the nation, that's a big deal.
That was huge. These, my God, these targeting penalties are just... I know I've talked about this before. I know other people in the podcast have talked about this before, but we've talked about Tech's being undisciplined. Targeting is one of those penalties that how do you coach that? Like, how do you tell a player, oh yeah, by the way, don't play as hard as we want you to.
It's not even that. It's untraining them because they've been told to hit this way for you know, the last 6 years. They were told to hit this way, and now the rule is changed, and it's like the problem is these players have been coached to hit a certain way for the last 6 years, and in the heat of the game and the speed of the game, in the moment, you have to change your muscle memory, not to lead with your head, not to lead a certain way, and it seems like a tall task to make that change in a year.
Well, what sucks about the Desmond Smith one, I mean, the receiver's coming down. You know, that's the thing. It should be, if you're going to call, like, targeting's not a bad rule. It's not. It truly isn't. The idea of targeting makes a lot of sense. You're going out headhunting. I get trying to eradicate that. But the problem with it is that refs are throwing out guys for making football plays, for doing things that football players are supposed to do.
Right.
Right? So if you're a coach, like, you can't. I don't know. I think it's very hard for coaches because I don't know how you coach that. I don't know how you tell the player. Because the way the targeting is, it's not about – it's not helmet to helmet. It's not – because you can get a targeting. I mean, because the thing about it is Desmond didn't lead with his helmet. You can. I saw an ejection the other day where the guy didn't lead with his helmet. The receiver ducked down. He basically aimed for his legs. The receiver dug down and it's targeting. That's not his fault.
Right. It's incidental contact. You don't mean to hit him a certain way. It's just you can't control your body at that kind of speed.
Yeah. The idea behind targeting is a good one, and I get it. But the targeting rule, the way it is enforced, it is suspending, like ejecting a guy for it. It is absolutely ridiculous. Really, honestly, ejection should be up to the referee. Like, that should be a referee call that – yeah, okay, that is a dangerous play to football. He needs to get out of here.
Not only dangerous, because more like premeditated. Like, oh, well, he meant to put a hit on that guy, and that was absolutely unnecessary, so get him out of the game. And that's absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, and that's what targeting should be. That's how it should be refereed. But the way – like, it's just a ridiculous, terrible rule that and in this case, it really did affect the game. I mean, point.
Yeah.
It truly did affect the game. Now, do I think Desmond Smith would have just locked down AJ Brown? No.
Absolutely.
We still would have probably got our asses kicked, but it helps. We need all the help we can get. They scored 47 points.
Yeah. And not having Jashaun was pretty huge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started on that one. So you're basically missing already with the Octavius Morgan injury, and then you lose two of your best secondary guys. And I'm, to be honestly, I watched Justice Parker a lot in that game. I don't know if he's – I know we loved Justice Parker last year. He is not the player to take over as the star player. And I was curious if this was going to be the case heading into this year, now that he's known, now that we all know him, now that he's not some backup surprise guy, now that he is a preseason all Big 12 pick, would he show up as a star? And he didn't. I mean, this was the type of game where Jashaun Johnson's gone, Desmond Smith's gone, Octavius Morgan's gone. You are the best player in the secondary. You should step up. And he was one of the main ones that got torched.
Yeah, and John Bonney, the new grad transfer, didn't impress me either.
I actually disagree there. John Bonney was actually the only player on the defense that I actually was impressed by. Why did he impress you?
Well, he did force the fumble, and I'll give him credit for that, but he got burned on the deep routes just as much as anybody else. And it's hard to criticize because, like I've said, I think that's the best wide receiving core in the country.
So John Bonney led the team in tackles. He did force the fumble. Now, you are right that he did get burned at times. I do think that he was out of position sometimes. He's also only been with the team for 2 weeks. So it's tough to necessarily, you know, gauge how good he should. I think the fact that he played as much as he did, and a lot of that had to do with Jashaun Johnson being out. Given the situation, I actually think that Bonnie, I think the two main guys that I was impressed with were Bonnie and then Tony Jones actually played a hell of a game. Yeah, you know, got a sack, two in the backfield, 6 total tackles. Tony Jones, hat tip to you, but the rest of the defense can kick rocks.
Yeah, I really don't know much what else to say about this game at that point. Like, it's just a disappointment. I'd like to forget about it. I'm going to drink another beer, and hopefully that will help me forget my pains.
So before last week, I said that I personally thought Tech had to go into the conference season 3 undefeated to really feel for us to really feel comfortable about the team going forward. We're already 0-1. 1-2. If we lose to Houston, we're not going to lose to Lamar. We're not Kansas. Let's be real. Okay, we're not going to lose to Lamar. It's not the end of the world just yet. But if we lose to Houston, a team that I personally think Houston has, coming into the season, I thought Houston had a good chance of being better than Ole Miss. Then I watched the Houston versus Rice game, and I said, okay, maybe that's not the case. But Houston is still going to be a tough test. They still have the best defensive player in the country. They still have a quarterback that's better than the quarterback that we played against last year. If we go into the conference season 1-2, I mean, the season's over, in my opinion. I wouldn't
say the season's over. I'd just say Cliff Kingsbury's over.
Yeah, basically. I mean, definitely.
They're not going to fire him mid-season, but if we go 1-2 in non-conference play, we're not going to win more than 6 games.
We're not going to win 6. Kingsbury's never had an above 500 record in conference.
Yeah.
And so the one time that he would have to get – for us to get to 6 wins would have to be – if we went 1-2 in conference or non-con, would have to be the first time he ever did it after losing 2 of the easier games in the Big 12 schedule. Like, where would you rank Ole Miss in the Big 12 right now? Probably 7th or 8th. Where would you rank U of H in the Big 12 right now? Probably 8th or 9th. And those are the two losses we would have coming into conference play.
I actually think Ole Miss is I'm really impressed with Ole Miss, and I was higher on them going into the game than I was, and I'm higher on them now. I really liked that team.
See, I'm actually on the other side. I think that Ole Miss looked good because we looked so bad.
Well, I mean, that's definitely a contributing factor, but I expect them to make some noise in the SEC this year.
I don't know. I really think if Ole Miss wins 6 games this year, I'll be impressed. That's how low I kind of think of Ole Miss right now. And that says more about
us. I actually really want Ole Miss to win like 8 games and then not go to a bowl because, you know, they can't. That'd be entertaining.
Well, Well, I will say now, after the performance they played, a lot of people are impressed by Ole Miss. You know, because they looked impressive. I mean, it was ESPN game, not prime time, but ESPN first game of the day on the first Saturday of the weekend. They looked impressive. They put up 47. Their defense was supposed to be abysmal. Made, you know, it looked good against us. For people that don't know that they were, you know, didn't put two and two together about being a true freshman, they looked good in the run game because we didn't feed the ball to De'Leon Ward as much as we should have. So they looked good. They get in the conference season and they'll get smacked.
We'll see.
We will see. But enough about Ole Miss. Let's talk a little bit about Tech going up against Lamar. I mean, not much to really see here. It's a Power 5 team going up against a Southland Conference FCS opponent.
Yeah, I would expect it to be a blowout. And the only thing I will say is they scored 71 points last week. Granted, it was against nobody, but it's a team coming in with a lot of confidence, playing against a team that's confidence is shaken.
So we'll beat them by 40 instead of 50?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing. So two Big 12 teams struggled in against FCS teams last week. I mean, K-State barely beat South Dakota. They shouldn't have won that game, actually, but they barely beat South Dakota. And then Kansas lost to a Nicholls State.
Just Kansas being Kansas.
It's Kansas being Kansas. That's all it is. So, Tech, I mean, I don't expect them to lose to Lamar. I would hope that we were Baylor beat the crap out of Abilene Christian. So I would hope that we're better than Baylor. I imagine we'll put up a similar game to what Baylor did. Baylor beat Abilene Christian 55-27. You know, Lamar is still. Lamar not only is in the Southland Conference, they're one of the they're not a powerhouse in the Southland Conference. They're one of the lesser teams in there, so I don't expect much.
You know, it's hard to predict Lamar. Like, I was looking at their last game, they played three quarterbacks, which is weird. And another thing, I expect McLean Carter won't play, Jashawn Johnson won't play. We might as well hold them out for another game. And I expect to see both Alan Bowman and Jet Duffy.
We will see Jet Duffy. That's what I'm curious about. I think we talked about it before. I think a lot of people jumped off the Jet Duffy train. So after Bowman came in instead of Duffy, a lot of people jumped back on the Jet Duffy train. And I noticed that a lot of people on Twitter were wanting to see Jet Duffy out there instead of the true freshman. So, you know, we're gonna see him against Lamar. I mean, Jet, this is your chance. Like, this is it. If you're ever going to be a starting quarterback for the Texas Tech Raiders, this is it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's fallen off leading up to the season in spring camp and everything. And but the stars have aligned, and we might as well give him a shot this weekend, especially if we're up, you know, a few scores. Give him the ball, see what the kid can do. There's something about a lot of guys that don't look good until they get into a game. He could be a gamer. Like, you see his high school stats, he could just be a gamer, you know? Like, it doesn't show in practice, but once the adrenaline's flowing and he's in the heat of the moment, who knows? Maybe he could be special.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You might be right. I would actually be curious if Kingsbury does what a couple other teams did last week. So Baylor was a good example. They basically did a two-series thing. Where every two series, they switch quarterbacks. And so for Baylor, for example, and I'm going to kind of preview them a little bit, but Baylor started out with Charlie Brewer, the guy that we all assume is going to be the starting quarterback. Every two series, they switched in with Jalen McClendon, the NC State transfer. Jalen McClendon looked he looked like the better quarterback of the two, even though he seems to be the number two quarterback. Now you got a situation where if you're Baylor, you're like, man, you know, that Jalen McClendon, Charlie Brewer, we like you and all, but we might have to start this transfer. You know, who knows? That could, same thing could happen here with McClellan Carter. We don't know how – McClellan Carter got a high ankle sprain. And even though that sounds not bad to a lot of people, that's for people that don't know anything about a high ankle sprain. That I've seen high ankle sprains keep people out for the entire season. You know.
So, I personally – my ankles are made of plastic. Just – I was at the beach this summer. And I was trying to fetch a frisbee. And you know how kids dig holes in the sand?
Yeah.
I'm running along the beach, and I step in one of those holes. Boom, high ankle sprain. Probably the fourth or fifth one I've ever had. Like, plastic ankles. High ankle sprains are no joke. Like, for a quarterback having to plant on that foot and drive the football down the field, no, ain't happening. Mm-mm.
I think Carter's out for a while. I really do. I think it maybe even become a situation. It won't surprise me if he's out long enough to where they just go ahead and give him a medical red shirt or something. I think he's going to be out for quite a while. So now you kind of have to figure out who's your quarterback for the season going to be. And even if Carter's not out for as long as I'm assuming, he's going to be out for this game. He's likely going to be out for Houston. You know, so you have to figure out who's going to be your quarterback right now. And maybe you think it's Bowman. I mean, Duffy didn't come in at all during the game. Maybe, and if you think it's Bowman, you're decisive about Bowman, great. But this is a good chance for you to at least test out Duffy. Hell, test out Colt Garrett. I don't care. And see who the best quarterback is.
It's pretty much the only real reason to watch this football game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm not too excited about an 0-1 team playing Lamar.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it'll make us feel a little better going into week three. Maybe. But, like, even if we do beat him by 40-50, like, I'm not going to be that impressed. It's Lamar.
Yeah, but then again, we're talking about Lamar like they're trash, and they are. But let's not forget the time when we had trouble beating UTEP, and we had trouble beating Nevada, and we had trouble beating, you know, these schools that we should be blowing out. So, both of those years were also years that we had – I think both years when we almost lost to UTEP, when we almost lost to Nevada, I think both years we ended up missing a bowl game that year. So I think that even though we will beat Lamar, this game could be very telling of the type of season we're going to have.
No, I disagree. I'm not reading into anything in this game other than the quarterback situation.
I don't know, man. History repeats itself. If we come out of this game and let's say we beat Lamar, I don't know, let's say it's 30-20 or 34-41, something like that. I just don't think that bodes well for the team going forward. This is the game, type of game you blow the team out. And I remember after the Nevada game, because I was at Tech during the Nevada game, I remember that game. I remember us on a last second touchdown beating Nevada and feeling so happy, you know, and being like, man, that was a close one. We almost lost to Nevada, but we're going to come back and pump it out the rest of the season. And 5-7 season later, we're like, man, Tuberville's trash. And I remember the UTEP game. Oh, man, we gutted that one out. Oh, well, we'll come back. And I think that year we went 4-8 with Kingsbury. I just think these type of games are very telling.
I still disagree. I don't know. There's just something about this team that just, I don't know. It's Lamar. They're nobodies. It's not going to show us anything. The only thing I'm interested in is Alan Bowman versus Jet Duffy.
I don't know, man. They just beat powerhouse Kentucky Christian.
Powerhouse Kentucky. Powerhouse. By 70.
by 63. Let's not give Lamar all the credit.
Well,
all
right. They scored 70.
They did score 70, yes. I actually had 49 at halftime.
But yeah, I really wanted to preview, like, oh, do they have any good players? And I don't know. They started three different quarterbacks. One thing that's interesting to me, my buddy Maitland Rutledge, shout out Maitland Rutledge if you're watching, he tweeted out Willie Sykes is on that team, former Red Raider.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, it was like, what happened to that guy? Well, he plays for Lamar. That's what happened to that guy.
Only thing to be scared, worried about Lamar is anybody who decides to spend years of their lives in Beaumont willingly is somebody that you really have to, they're grimy people, right? Like that's somebody like, you know what, that guy, he's going to be tough.
It's like a less glamorous last chance you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, I mean, Beaumont is the East Mississippi of Texas.
And there's no Netflix.
And I wouldn't surprise me. Actually, a woman I work with, she went to Lamar for a year, hated it, cried every night until she transferred back to, or until she went back to Houston and went to University of Houston downtown. So that kind of tells you a little bit about Lamar. You know, people talk about Lubbock all the time, but I always tell people a lot of the times there's many, many other cities I would rather not spend my time in than Lubbock, Texas.
I think Lubbock's a great college town, but once you graduate, it's like, well, I'm gonna leave now.
Yeah, that's kind of the general consensus, in my opinion. I also think it takes that person to be able to live in Lubbock post grad, right? I got friends to live in Lubbock, and I think it depends. It's up to if it depends on if that's your cup of tea. Now, I will say I'm not for the hating on Lubbock when you live in Stillwater or you live in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, like okay, get the F off of your high horse. It's not like your city's much better. Like, if your claim to fame is, oh, well, Lubbock sucks because Waco, I can drive to Houston, that's 2 hours away. If that's the best thing you can say about your city, that means your city's trash.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I don't want to, that's why, unless you're a TCU student or a UT student, I do not want to hear about how Lubbock sucks. All right, I just don't. Okay, and then even Austin and Fort Worth have their drawbacks. Okay?
I will say one of my favorite things about Lubbock. You know, I'm from Austin. I've lived in Austin. Traffic is a nightmare. Lubbock has the loop, and everything's on a grid. Like getting anywhere in Lubbock is so easy. Like it's beautiful how that city's set up.
Yeah, no, Austin, and I live in Houston, so, and as you know, it took me a while to get to this pod because there was an accident, and there's an accident every day. Actually, Houston was actually just named the most dangerous city to drive in the country. If you live in Fort Worth, you have to deal with traffic. Austin, you have to deal with traffic. Every other city in the Big 12 is just a crappy city by itself. So Lubbock's not bad. Like, I'm tired of the Lubbock disrespect, okay? But I am glad we're about to play a team in a city that's so much worse. Over the offseason, there are people that went to Iowa State talking crap about the city of Lubbock. Dude, you live in Ames, Iowa.
I don't care where you live in Iowa. It's Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. How dare you talk about Lubbock, Texas?
Norman, Oklahoma?
So I was talking to Todd Gocher once. We were trying to get him on a pod once, and it just, our pod system wasn't working. But when me and him were talking, one thing he said, and I believe it wholeheartedly, and recruiting holds serve in this, right, is that you get people to Lubbock, they will love it, right? And I agree with that. I truly do agree with that. Like, so, and Zach, our managing editor, he talks crap about Lubbock all the time because he's a hater. But, you know, Lubbock, once you get there, I truly believe that you get there, you just fall in love with the people, you fall in love with how the city is set up. You may get, you know, after being there for a while, you might get tired of it here and there, but you find your way around it, and it's a good place to be.
No, yeah, like I definitely had my hesitations going to Lubbock. Like I was like, oh man, Austin versus Lubbock. I don't know, man. But yeah, by like my sophomore year, I got to know the town, became 21. Oh, it's a great town to live in.
Yeah. So this is how I look at it. I'm out of high school. We've kind of got off topic, but we're gonna continue this. 'Cause I like it. Out of high school, I really wanted to live in a college town, right? Like, my top three schools were LSU, Baylor, and Tech. Those are my three schools I was looking at, right? My top school was actually LSU at the time. I wanted to go to LSU. And in Houston, A&M is probably the biggest team most people you're gonna see. UT's after that. After that is LSU. Before Houston, before U of H fans. So I want to go to LSU. So I went to LSU, went to Baton Rouge. I went to Baton Rouge, and I'm like, Baton Rouge is one of the grossest cities I've ever seen in my life. So this is coming from somebody that actually took that into consideration when deciding to go to Lubbock. I went to Lubbock, and I was like, the people were nice. The campus was beautiful. You know, everything about the school was fantastic. And about the city was fantastic. So I do agree with Gocher that you just get recruits, you get people out there, they'll love it. So leading up to the game, so what's your prediction for this Lamar Tech game?
52-10.
That's pretty decent. So I'm gonna go 45-20.
Oh, we're gonna give up 20?
I'm off the defense now. Like I'm one of the main ones that was on the hype train. I was hyping them up since last year. I thought the way they played defense, like against TCU, for example, even though we lost that game, even though the defense put up some TCU put up some points, the way the defense played against TCU, I thought was fantastic. The way they attacked, if we had an offense in that game, we would have won that game. I thought we played fantastic. Like I have been on the Tech defensive train for a while now. And the way they played against Ole Miss, I'm completely off.
See, I think that was the problem. I think the defense was on the defense hype train. You know, I think they needed to get kicked in the nuts. Now they're going to get back up. And I think we're overreacting on the defense. I think the defense will be fine. It was a snowball effect of losing secondary pieces, being down early, and just giving up big plays. I think the defense will respond big.
One hypothesis is that Tech defense, so we all know the offense is a little subpar, right? Right now, anyways. One hypothesis is that the Tech defense played nothing but Tech offensive players all offseason and has kind of brought their level down to the offenses because of it. And I heard it, and I was like, you know, that would actually make sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense to me. I grew up a tennis player, and I really enjoyed playing people that were better than me because I would always play better than I actually was. And when I played someone who sucked, I was a stinking turd on the court. So I totally get it. I buy that theory.
Yeah, I mean, it's natural. So, like, when I played football, for example, right, I always, when I was working out, Coach would always put me with one of two groups. There was another group, which was some of the bench players that were, they were both weaker than I was. When I was with them, I didn't have to work out that hard. You know, I could kind of slack off a little bit. I didn't have to lift as much weight as I usually would. I would, as long as I was either at their level or maybe even a tiny bit higher, I was okay. The other level were with these a couple of guys that I was starting with that were jacked, right? They were so much stronger than I was. And so for me, I knew I couldn't lift the same as them, but I couldn't embarrass myself. Like, right? Like, there's nothing worse than working out in football with these guys, and they're putting on all these plates on the bench, and you're having to take everything off each time, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I couldn't just – so every time I worked out with those guys, I had to be stronger. So I completely understand that hypothesis of you're playing the offense this entire offseason with this quarterback situation that they've made us look good. The defense has looked good all offseason, but it's really because they had been brought back down to the offense's level. I can completely see that, especially because it's not like the coaching staff is this, you know, innate, wonderful defensive coaching staff that we have all the trust in the world to get it right. It's not that way. So I could easily see that being the case.
All right, so give me your offensive and defensive MVP predictions, game MVPs.
I'm going to go De'Leon Ward for offense. He's the best player on the offense. I'm willing to go ahead and justify that. Not counting the O-line guys, of course, but I think as far as skill players, De'Leon Ward is the best offensive player we have, including TJ Vasher. I think De'Leon Ward, I think during the game, we all saw what I already figured, which is De'Leon Ward is the best running back on the team. I think the only difference is during that Ole Miss game, I think it's not even close. I used to think that Trey King was right behind him, but now I'm thinking it may not even be close. Defensively, I'm just praying this is the game Dakota Allen comes back. You know, I'm praying this is the game that Dakota Allen gets another 10-tackle game. And kind of regains his fierceness because we need him to. You know, the thing that worried me about the Ole Miss game was that they game planned for Dakota Allen, and he did not step up.
So I agree with your pick with De'Leon Ward. That's who I was going to say. I was all aboard the Trey King hype train, and shoot, you're right. It's De'Leon Ward looked legit. And had we not been down in that game so early, we would have saw a lot more from De'Leon Ward. So I think De'Leon Ward is going to be the offensive MVP. And I think defensively, Dakota Allen's a good pick, but I think his stats aren't going to be as impressive this year because Jordan Brooks is right next to him. So I'm picking Eli Howard as my defensive MVP.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Eli Howard, if he gets a couple sacks, that'll be good. The thing is, Jordan Brooks was beside Dakota Allen all last year, too.
True.
Like, both guys could put up 100 tackles together. But I think the problem they're going to have, and I never thought about this going into the season, but I think the problem that especially Dakota Allen's going to have is teams are going to game plan specifically for him. They're going to do stuff like throwing the ball to intermediate passes to Jordan, because Jordan Brooks is the one that struggles with pass pro, with pass coverage, not Dakota Allen. So they're going to do things like pass the ball to Jordan Brooks' side, or do screens to the outside.
Line up a fullback whose sole purpose is to get through the line and hit Dakota Allen.
Exactly. So he's going to be game plan for more than anybody else, right? And so both him and Deshaun Johnson, those are going to be the two guys that teams are going to go in and say, we've got to make sure Dakota Allen doesn't beat us. We've got to make sure Deshaun Johnson doesn't beat us. And so that's why, for example, I talked about Dakota Allen having four tackles. I'm just as disappointed in Jordan Brooks for only having five, right?
Yeah.
Because what makes our linebacking core so great is the fact that we say, okay, if you want a game plan for Dakota Allen, we have Jordan Brooks, who we think is also one of the top 5 to 10 backers in the conference. Well, he didn't play like it.
Yeah, and that was the real bummer about last week is, sure, they were getting past the first level, but then you're like, oh, that's okay because the second level is so good at tackling, but we just didn't see it.
And not only that, but like the fact that Ole Miss ran on us the way they did, Jordan Brooks is his. We say that he struggles a little bit on pass coverage. I actually think he's a better run stopper than Dakota Allen is.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so the fact that Scottie Phillips just destroyed him on those. I was like, what the hell, man? Because Scottie Phillips ran to his side. It's not like Jordan Brooks could have had a lot more than five tackles. That big, long 65-yard gain, Scottie Phillips ran right past Brooks.
Yeah, I agree.
So it was disappointing. But Lamar, I don't expect anybody from Lamar to do the same thing. I can't speak on Lamar players. I don't know too much about them. I did a little bit of research. Couldn't really – I mean, there's – They had a couple guys, Jordan Hoy, Isaiah Howard, you know, but it's Lamar guy, people. Like, that's why we've gone on for different tangents, because it's Lamar.
Yeah, I could read names off a list too, Albert, but I'm not going to, because it's you can't take anything from their first game. You don't know who their guys are.
It doesn't matter. It's Lamar. Tech will win the game. It's just, to me, I think it's a matter of how much they win by. I think 40. I predicted 45-20. That's not impressive to me. I think 52-10 is. If they do that, that's what I would expect. But I know it's just one game. If you know anything about me, you know I put a lot of weight in individual games. Maybe sometimes a little too much. But it didn't look good whatsoever. We flat out sucked. And we won't know just how bad we suck until with the Houston game, but it wasn't good.
Yep. All I want to say is if you're listening if you're on Viva the Matadors page, comment below with your score predictions. That'd be an interesting, fun little thread to do. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, give us a subscribe. Let us know how we're doing. What you got for him, Albert?
Nothing on my side. Just make sure you follow me at Mr_AlbieShore. Last week we talked to the brothers Brandt. I did get to meet them. They were in, of course, Raider red, all red tuxes. I wish we could have shown them a better show, but they were rooting for the Red Raiders. They were, they got a chance to be on the field with the cheerleaders. It was a great time with them. It was a lot of fun. We drank, we laughed. If you were at NRG, we all had a good time at least. Hopefully the season goes better. You want to close this out, Dylan?
Yeah, I'll close this out. For Albie, I'm Dylan, and you're listening to the Air Raid Podcast by Viva the Matadors.